This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Are you ready?
Live from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is The Blitz with Rick Butler, Chance Collins, and Brandon Orrick.
Welcome to the Blitz today, live on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. Today is Thursday, May the 6th. The time is 10:05 a.m. Hey, we're here in studio ready for another fantastic show. No matter where you are, no matter how you're listening today, maybe it's live on the radio, 105.7 FM, 1340 a.m. Maybe it's live on the Periscope, which is available on our Twitter and Facebook accounts. Or maybe it is a little bit delayed on the podcast. Hello to everybody out there. No matter how you're listening, no matter where you're listening, thanks for making us a part of your morning. Thanks for tuning in to the show today. Guys, we got a tremendous show lined up today. Got so many things to talk about, including a brand new player headed to the Tennessee football squad. We'll get into all of it and more coming up today. But first, my name is Rick Butler. To my left, that is Brandon Orrick. To my right, that is Charlie Collier, and back behind the booth, the one and only Chance Collins is in the house. Good morning, everybody. How are y'all doing today?
Doing pretty good, Rick.
Yeah, feeling pretty good.
Okay, good to hear.
Pretty day outside.
Feeling good.
Hey, tremendous. It is a nice day. I feel like we're maybe out of the storms of the last couple days. Does anybody know about that? Let's look.
It's going to rain again soon.
Well, looks like Monday through Thursday of next week, there's a pretty good chance it's going to rain each and every day. But until then, you're going to have a nice weekend.
Jeez.
So hopefully you can enjoy it a little bit. I wonder what it looks like past that, because my thing right here is only going till Thursday, but you got to think about it. That next Friday is when Tennessee has a home game against Arkansas here in baseball. So hopefully there's no, rain leading 4 days up until then. Hopefully you don't have it on the 5th, but I can't see that far. Anyways, you didn't come here to learn about the weather for next week. You could have gone to the internet for that. Guys, we got tons of things to get into today. As I mentioned a minute ago, first on the menu, we landed a brand new receiver to the team from the transfer portal. It's actually the fourth guy that Coach Heupel has landed from the transfer portal after the spring game. So, not a bad little run of things right now. And really, when you think about it, and you kind of add in some of the 2022 commits, maybe some of the 2022 offers, there's been a nice little recruiting stretch right here. And I think the difference is, obviously, between this time and last time. Well, when I say last time, I mean last year, right? We know how that run started and then how it ended up, basically. What I think that's a little bit different about just kind of the nice little string of victories the last couple weeks right here is, it's transfer players. They're guys that are trying to get to Knoxville as soon as they can to get on the team, not guys who are going to have to wait a whole year to commit. So Tennessee lands its new wide receiver yesterday. We will get into that coming up here in a little bit. Also, have some NFL rumors and notes to get into, as I heard this morning on the radio that the Green Bay Packers are now quarterback shopping. You surprised?
No. No, I'm not surprised. I told you I didn't think he was going to play. I think he's serious.
That's true.
I think he means what he says. He's not going to play.
I mean, just regardless of whether the Packers think that he's going to play or not, given the threats that he's made and the reports that he could retire, you have to be doing your due diligence and shopping the quarterback market, at least so at the very least you're ready to strike if Rodgers does indeed retire or, you know, whatever else.
Yeah, I mean, the way that he's put it, he is all in on either retirement or somewhere besides Green Bay, Wisconsin. So, obviously, they're Green Bay taking a little bit of backup measures. Quarterback shopping a little bit. Although, if you really look at the free agency market, it's not anything enticing whatsoever. They're a little bit behind. If I'm the Packers right now, I'm pretty much thinking, honestly, it's kind of looking like a we either have Aaron Rodgers next year or we might have the first pick of the draft next year. Seeing if Jordan Love can come in and do anything. But likely, that would be a tough transition. Chance, what do you think about all this? Being you are our resident Rodgers expert.
I don't know about the expert. Seems like that. Yeah, I mean, they have to do something, I guess. If he keeps threatening that he's not going to play, it seems like he's not going to play. The reports about he's telling free agents not to come there because he wouldn't be there. And we know his affinity with Jeopardy. I mean, he could go do that full-time, I guess, if that's something he's really passionate about. Yeah, I guess as a team, you have to have a contingency plan. And with them trying to add quarterbacks, I mean, the only quarterback they have on the roster besides Rodgers is Jordan Love, so you got to add somebody just in case. You have to.
Yeah.
It sucks. But, I mean, I'll still say, like, I'm not mad at him. People can say whatever they want to about Aaron Rodgers. The organization's been disrespecting him for a while.
You could go try to talk Alex Smith out of retiring. Get him to be your vet one-year guy. You know, two-year guys for Jordan Love to bridge that. But, you know, I still think
– I mean, they missed out on Teddy. Teddy got traded to Denver. That's somebody that's familiar with that division,
sure.
His time with the Vikings.
Sure, that's not a bad call at all.
Maybe you can hit up the Bears for Andy Dalton.
Please, no.
I don't know. I mean, the Packers still do have all the leverage with Aaron Rodgers. I mean
– Do they, though?
Yeah, they do. Because, I mean, financially, Aaron Rodgers can say whatever he wants, but if he holds out every day that he holds out, that was a mandatory day, he owes $50,000.
Yeah.
And if he retires,
also,
he has to pay.
What's $50,000 to him?
Financially,
no, hold up.
Like he isn't a made man.
Hold up.
Okay.
If he retires, he has to pay back a little over $30 million. So, I mean, even if you are a made man, even if you have a ton of money, $30 million is $30 million. I feel like he'd be a little – he wouldn't really prefer to do that.
Yeah, I really lean with you. The only thing that gives me any kind of reservation or any kind of hesitation is just the things that we know about Rodgers.
Yeah,
we do know that
we're talking about we're saying like a rational person, but
sure.
I mean, at rational thinking, you wouldn't want to retire because you wouldn't want to pay that money back. But then again, it's hard to really predict what Aaron Rodgers is going to do because he's not a rational human.
I think the people who have maybe tested Aaron Rodgers before don't probably talk to him much anymore.
Yeah, no, he doesn't come home for Christmas anymore.
So look at the Packers right there,
man. Broke it up with a couple girls.
Look at the Packers. I think that, you know, like we're saying, I think that a lot of us believe that, you know, maybe something could happen or maybe something reasonable could still happen. But there's always kind of that still reservation that, man, he really could just be that guy to say, you know what? No. This is just going to be what I do. Look, Aaron Rodgers has been in the league for a long time. He's seen a lot of things. He watched Brett Favre's transition out of the league. He knows these things, and he's an incredibly smart man. So he is going to, I think, navigate this the way he wants, and nobody else is going to tell him what there is else going on. So we'll get into a little bit other NFL news and rumors, also kind of collecting some stories from different parts of the sports world. For instance, we'll talk about this golf league coming up later. Now, we don't necessarily, I think, believe that it might be likely. Nonetheless, though, it's a really fascinating conversation to talk about what could potentially be happening there. Just what might be the reason that somebody would go there? What could it look like if it actually did work? Something along those lines. So talk a little bit about that. Check in with the end of the NBA season a little bit coming up here as we really only have a handful of games left. A lot of close races going on over there. How about baseball yesterday? How about the major leagues? Charlie came in and told us first thing off the bat this morning, not one, but two historic moments on the mound. Maybe not historic, but certainly...
Yeah, I would I would say it's okay to say historic.
Okay, and even especially then what happening on the same day.
Unprecedented.
There you go. Rare, to say the least. So the first one was we go and check in with the Baltimore Orioles. John Means. Wow. Wow. Talk about getting right there, but still a pretty good consolation prize. John Means was almost perfect on Wednesday for the Orioles as he was a pitch away from getting a perfect game. Had to eventually settle with a no-hitter. So again, not a bad consolation prize, but was one pitch away from a perfect game from ESPN. Means retired all 27 batters he faced in a 6-0 victory over the Mariners at T-Mobile Park on Saturday in Seattle. But he did allow a base runner when Sam Haggerty reached on a third strike wild pitch in the third inning. The Orioles then caught Haggerty attempting to steal second base, but the wild pitch nullifies the perfect game bid.
It's the first ever no-hitter that the minimum was still faced and there wasn't a walk issued.
That's unbelievable.
Or an error, you know, just having the drop third strike.
He is believed to be the first pitcher in Major League history to lose a perfect game on a third strike wild pitch. Wow. Wow. And like you said, Charlie, right there, he's the first pitcher to throw a non-perfect no-hitter with no walks, no hit batters, no errors.
He has an awesome story, too. He's a guy that was almost out of the league. He's dealt with tragedy in his family. He wasn't supposed to be back in the MLB. And then a couple years ago, he got a couple spot starts, and they just kept giving him spot starts when the Orioles sucked. And he ended up becoming an all-star. His past 11 starts dating back to last year, he's 6-1 with an ERA of 1.42. So he's definitely taken the most of it, of his opportunity, taking advantage of that. He's a really easy guy to root for. So it was great to see that for John Means.
All right, so then what was the other one? I know what it was, but where was it as well?
The Washington Nationals last night. They lost the game, so, like, you know, there's nothing really to brag about, but a rare feat nonetheless. Actually, a feat three times as rare as a no-hitter. Kyle Finnegan, Nationals reliever, threw an immaculate inning, just the 102nd immaculate inning in MLB history. Now, for those that don't know what an immaculate inning might be, an immaculate inning is when you have an inning where you throw 9 pitches, all 9 pitches are strikes, and that leads to 3 up, 3 down, via 3 strikeouts.
1, 2, 3, just like that.
1, 2, 3, strikeout. 1, 2, 3, strikeout. 1, 2, 3, strikeout. 9 pitches, 3 strikeouts.
And that's really, it's only having a third. And obviously, it's a much shorter of an accomplishment, so there's much more time for it to get broken up in the no-hitter situation. But that's actually kind of surprising to me that maybe that hasn't happened more often. But, wow,
that seems
pretty incredible.
Seems very hard.
The Nationals have had, like, 4 or 5 of those 102.
Well, I mean, for the fact that, first of all, they're all strikes.
How many
and then
total?
That none of them get fouled off either.
Yeah. Straight to the catcher.
Seems difficult.
Yeah.
Well, you can have them fouled off, just as long as it's one of the first two.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
you can't have that third one fouled off.
Right.
But still, I mean, even the timing just to get there is pretty incredible.
Yeah, there have been 307 no-hitters, 102 immaculate innings.
Okay, see, I guess that's what I would have thought. Like, maybe it's somewhat more than 100, but you're kind of convincing me that, yeah, that's a...
So shout out to the Nationals.
Wildly hard thing. I'm sorry we didn't have the audio for you today, Charlie, on the
you know, we get pitchers'
innings.
Grand slams, but
yeah,
not immaculate
Yeah, you know, we get
innings.
Pitchers' grand slams.
Someone tried to jinx him from the crowd.
No way.
Yeah, they showed, like, the mic'd up little, like, cut 47 dugout HD 4K camera, and, like, as he's coming set and getting ready to throw, hey, I don't want to jinx you, but don't mess this one up.
Oh, that's good. That is good. So, man, right there, a couple of quick stories right off the top to get you ready for the show today. Coming up here in the first segment of the day, again, we're going to be going back a little bit, talking about Tennessee's newest recruit that they landed yesterday, a wide receiver from Mississippi State, a wide receiver who is originally from Nashville, who's coming back home via way of the transfer portal. So wide receiver, 6'2". Hey, great, great player. How does he fit in? Where will he fit in? And really, how is this just another piece to the puzzle of what Heupel has been doing here in just these recent few days after the spring game? It's been pretty incredible how he's been able to string together a couple nice little victories in a row. So we'll give you everything you need to know about Tennessee's newest wide receiver transfer, Javonte Payton, coming up next right here on The Blitz, and then keep talking about Heupel's great week. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Blitz. Fan Run. All right, here we go. Back here on The Blitz, 10:22 a.m. as we are making our way through the beginning of the show today. 865-546-8200. That is your number to call in to the show today. Of course, that's not your actual number. I don't know what that is. Charlie showed us a good video right there during the break just a second ago. Can you go ahead and retweet that maybe? It's
already been retweeted.
Already done.
Yeah.
So it's a great video. The baseball team looks like they're over at McGee Tyson getting ready to travel over to Missouri for their upcoming series starting on Friday. And the team took a little bit of a travel, how should we put this?
There was a theme to their
travel dress code.
A travel theme is what Evan Russell referred to it as. He said, travel theme is jerseys. Freshmen didn't understand, I don't think, at Vol Baseball, at Kyle Booker. And the video proceeds to show the team hopping into the airport, getting ready to head off to Missouri, wearing some pretty cool jerseys, I must say.
Like just throwback major league jerseys.
You know, like,
I saw David Ortiz.
There's a Peyton Manning jersey. I saw a David Ortiz jersey. Someone was wearing a Giannis jersey. So, you know, just everyone's
okay,
favorite
jerseys.
Cool jerseys. Kyle Booker then is shown at the end of the video. He has his Tennessee baseball jersey on, his Tennessee hat on, his Tennessee baseball pants on. The jersey is tucked in with a belt and the baseball socks.
And glasses, right?
And glasses. Yeah, he
looks like he could step out on the field right now and be good to go.
He could play right now.
That's
he
incredible.
He just has to put cleats on. That is it. So, yeah, didn't get the memo. So, good content from Evan Russell.
What a weird thing to power rank, but if you were to power rank most uncomfortable things to sit in an airplane for a couple of hours, full entire baseball uniforms got to be up there, right?
I'd say up there with, like, suit.
Yeah, I don't get the people that travel with a suit either, but, you know, it's a funny video.
Sometimes you have to.
Go find it on Charlie's Twitter if you want to see it. So, Brandon, I was kind of thinking about it yesterday, just as we were getting the Javonte Payton news, as that was starting to unfold, just kind of thinking about the last, I don't know, 2 months or so. It's been a little bit of a slow burn, for lack of a better word, huh?
A slow burn.
Yeah. I mean, when you really think about it, it never really got off to a hot start, and you were always playing from behind. Not to mention, you had a couple of roadblocks thrown in your way that nobody could do anything about, but There was an incident on campus right there at the beginning of spring practice that left four of your players suspended, two of which are in the transfer portal currently. You've had just numerous amounts of injuries that have come up along the way to kind of hinder some of the development in some of the most key positions. So up until really the spring game, to me, at least that's kind of the way that I would classify. And from the fans' perspective, it's been a little bit of a slow burn.
Okay.
So then you hit the spring game, right? And by this point, we've gotten a little bit of murmurs. Some rumors are going about. Joe Milton, the quarterback, might be coming in. That Tennessee is certainly shopping around in the transfer portal. And that something could be on the way. We knew that both Joe Milton and Juwan Mitchell, the linebacker from Texas, were at the spring game. And I think that's when things started to roll. I think there's also an initial moment towards every offseason where, yeah, things really kind of start to pick up pace. I think that this last week or two has been kind of our moment for that. You really go back and you think about what's happened since after the spring game, and Tennessee has brought in a number of different players. As I mentioned, quarterback Joe Milton from Michigan. You've brought in defensive lineman Caleb Tremblay from USC. Brought in linebacker Juwan Mitchell from Texas. And now, as of yesterday, wide receiver from Mississippi State, who is a Nashville guy originally, Javonte Payton. And I mean, these are four talented players. On the defensive side, absolutely going to have a chance to start. And on the offensive side for both of those guys, Two guys that you can put in already stacked positions to an extent and only elevate that room even more. I think this what has happened kind of here in the last 2 weeks or so, collecting all this immediate talent for next year's team has really been a win for this coaching staff. When, again, a lot of what the buildup to this was, in my opinion, was a pretty slow burn. But things are maybe picking up a little bit.
Well, you're adding some pieces. I mean, I don't know if we necessarily needed a wide receiver. I feel like our wide receiver room is – I feel like it's pretty talented. You got some pretty good guys in there. I mean, you've got Velus Jones, Jalen Hyatt. Is Brandon Johnson still there?
No.
No.
You have Cedric Tillman, though, and Malachi Wideman.
Yeah, so I mean, I feel like it's not really a position of need. Like,
super wide receiver.
Like you had on the defense with Tremblay and Mitchell. But, I like the move. Seems like he's got some upside. I think he can be a nice addition to the receiving core.
Yeah, upside is absolutely right. I mean, with Javonte Payton, he's the guy that almost ended up at Tennessee the first time around, settled for Starkville, and he, you know, carved himself a nice little rollout. He had a big opener against LSU, and then Mississippi State kind of had a revolving door of quarterbacks. They had some drama with their running backs. Their offensive line had some injuries, and he kind of fell out of favor a little bit with Leach.
Team drama.
And then, yeah, lots of team drama in Starkville last year. And then they brought in some people from the transfer portal that ended up, you know, he kind of got the vibe that they were replacing him in spring ball. He kind of got passed up, and he had fallen down to, like, wide receiver 5 on their depth chart, wide receiver 4. So he wanted to get out of there. Tennessee is somewhere that he's always liked. Again, almost ended up here the first time around. And, you know, he looks like a guy that can compete to be, I would say, probably wide receiver 3.
Yeah.
Wide receiver 4 for Tennessee. You know, maybe he's a guy that can start at outside receiver, though, because Hyatt or Velus Jones Jr. have a more natural fit in the slot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a little bit of a head case, but, you know, overall, a guy with upside. You know, it's never a bad thing when you have as many open spots as Tennessee does already to just add some more talent in there.
So like Brandon said, you know, interesting that you do pull an addition for the wide receiver room, which I think that probably a lot of people looked at as the strength of Tennessee's offense, which you think about it, is probably the strength over the defense, right? So this is one of the better positions on the team. I was a little bit surprised too, I think, when I saw that he was pulling in a wide receiver. But what that tells me right off the bat is that Josh Heupel and the entire staff, their biggest goal is just to acquire talent to this team. I think that they fully realize that, look, you got to make these transitions quick in today's day and age, and especially here at Tennessee, people want to see something quickly. If you have the opportunity to bring in talent to this team, you're just going to do it. And I think that's what he's kind of showing right here. Look, did Tennessee need another wide receiver? No, not entirely. But man, this is a great guy to have. This is a great guy because he brings a skill set that can not only complement the other guys we have here on the roster right now, but it also highlights some of the other guys' talent as well. Think about this. I mean, Brandon, how much has Tennessee, let's say this, how much has Tennessee exploited the talents of their talents in the wide receiver room as of late? And by that, I mean, you know, figuring out ways to get their most talented receivers the ball in special, unique ways to match their skill set.
I feel like not very often.
Yeah, I feel like that's always been a big struggle, right? Like, you know, think about it.
I mean, not always, but recently.
Yeah, not always, but
I mean, we've not had a quarterback for 3 years. So it's kind of hard for the receivers to have success when you don't have a quarterback that can get them the ball.
True. That is very true. There's been a lot of deficiencies on the offensive side of the ball, but I just remember a couple of instances about certain guys where you just felt like they weren't being used in the right way. And so what I think is going to happen here is that this is another instantiation where Tennessee is able to smartly use these wide receivers to their advantage as we go on. Now, the wide receiver room goes to 16, which is a massive number. Of course, plenty of those are walk-ons, and plenty of those won't really play throughout the season, but still a darn good wide receiver room that looks like it's shaping up nicely for next season. But man, I really feel like things are turning around a little bit. And maybe not turning around. That's actually not the word I wanted to use. Things are heating up, I should say, a little bit. Not that they were going in the wrong direction. It was just that there were obstacles to clear for a while there. Now, you're able to bring in some players who you know are going to have an immediate impact next year.
Well, I think for the longest time after he was hired, there was just no news. There was just nothing besides the fact of you had the looming NCAA stuff hanging out. You had that hanging over your head. Then you had a bunch of bad news with the players getting suspended right. And all that. So now you're starting to get some good news, players coming in, some new players and things like that. And then you wrap up spring practice. So I think you're just starting to get some positivity, some good news coming in instead of no news or bad news.
Yeah, absolutely. So things are heating up, like I said, after what I believe to be a slow burn for a while there. Again, not necessarily anybody's fault in particular, but hey, you're starting from behind. Starting with not a great hand at the poker table, but able to make some moves as the cards are turned. All right, so on the other side of the break, I got a little bit more Tennessee news. As we're talking about additions to the team, there are a couple more guys who have entered the transfer portal as of late, who Tennessee might even still be in the running for, or might, well, I just want to throw them on the table, see if these would be players that you guys would be interested in bringing to the team. Hey, remember Jay Hardy? That's been a name that's talked about in the last couple days. We'll tell you him and a few more on the other side of the break, talking a little Tennessee football on the Blitz. Here we go, back here on the Blitz, 10:37 a.m., 865-546-8200. That's our number to call in and get in on the show today. Hey, if you want to talk a little Tennessee basketball, baseball, football, maybe a little MLB, NFL, NBA, hey, I don't care. Whatever you want to talk about, go ahead and give us a call today. We would love to get you in on the program today as we're talking a little Tennessee football right here off the bat. Talking about Tennessee's newest commit yesterday from the transfer portal. That was Javonte Payton. And again, like we had mentioned a second ago, it's good to get an in-state kid back, right? I think that's always one of the critical things and one of the most, one of the big things to look at is certainly you never want to let the in-state guys go in the first place and you can't go back and change history, but I guess this is the closest way to do so. You can at least bring him back to the squad. I think that one's going to be a lot of fun. I think that's going to be a lot of fun next year. Big dude, 6'2", just under 200 pounds. When you really look at the wide receiver room, you got pretty much a lot of everything. You got guys who are small and shifty, who can really use their speed to their advantage. And you got real good downfield threats. Velus Jones Jr., Cedric Tillman, Jimmy Callaway, Jimmy Holiday, Jalen Hyatt, Malachi Wideman, Michael Bittner, Walker Merrill, Jack Jancic, the star of the spring game. Wide receiver number one, and the list goes on and on. So, not too bad. We ran Fox Sports Knoxville, we ran a poll yesterday on our Twitter account that caught my attention. I want to know what you guys thought about this one. How do you currently feel about UT football? Three options: optimistic, pessimistic, apathetic.
Options one more time.
Optimistic, pessimistic, apathetic.
I fall somewhere between apathetic and optimistic. Somewhere between there.
All right. You're certainly slithering right through.
Choose a side.
You're certainly slithering right through the answer right there, but I see what you're doing.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm completely apathetic.
I think it's okay to say. There's nothing wrong with saying that. I was going
to
say,
but I'm not. It's not that honestly, I just completely don't care about the program.
Your answer is perfect, to be totally honest. It's actually spot on in line with kind of where this question goes. Chance, what about you?
I'd like to be optimistic, but I'd say I'm apathetic about it. Okay, I'm just, sure. We'll see what happens, and you know they're gonna have to do a lot to pull me back in.
Chuck,
I feel like I don't really know if any of those three words match how I feel, because I'm not necessarily overly optimistic because I don't feel like that's reasonable. But I'm also
you can be a little optimistic, but you don't have to be overly.
I'm also not like apathetic because I still. And passionate, like I still care. I guess like cautiously optimistic.
Sure. It's fair. I think that's very fair. Brandon, I want to go back to your answer because your answer is as sneaky as it was.
It wasn't sneaky. It was truthful.
It's pretty much right in line with what the people thought. We have about half a thousand votes here. And here's how the results pan out. 43% apathetic. 42% optimistic, 13% pessimistic. So right there, even you can tell that the optimistic and the apathetic are neck and neck. And I think a lot of the times, first off, I love these results. I think this exactly speaks to what you really see when you look at the Tennessee fan base. Look, people are looking at the fan base and being like, no, there's negativity everywhere. No, there's really... I don't know if there necessarily is. I think that a lot of people are exactly kind of in this position right here, where obviously 85% of our audience is at least, and it's either, hey, yes, I am cautiously optimistic, like what maybe Charlie said. It's not that I'm pessimistic. It's not that I'm angry. It's not that I hate them over there or what they're doing. It's just that I'm apathetic. I'm tired of the drama. I'm beat down by it a little bit. You know, I don't necessarily need to, need to dive into all the spring game things, and I don't need to dive into the investigations here in early May and things like that and care about that right now, of all things, with all the other drama that we had to care about. I don't really think that much of our fan base is very pessimistic. I just think that you have people who are a little bit tired, a little bit beat down, and you exactly see that here in this poll. I just find that interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people are tired of being disappointed and tired of investing so much into a program that gives so little in return. And they just, I don't want to say they don't care, but the care is starting to fade. And the passion that Charlie was talking about is starting to fade.
Yeah, I mean, you can get into the conversation of what is worse, right? Pessimism or apathy, right? Is it worse just to have people say, you know what, I just don't really care? It's like in wrestling, right? A reaction either kind of way at least shows that the audience is bought in. Because if they hate it enough to still be vocal about it, then at least you can still tell that they have 2 feet in the door. If they don't have no reaction whatsoever, you know that they just don't care. And I think sometimes that is worse. But interesting poll right there on the Twitter account from yesterday that I just wanted to get y'all's opinions on. But talking about a little bit more Tennessee football, Jay Hardy. You guys think that's a name that Tennessee could potentially swing in through the transfer portal? Or at least do you expect that that's a guy that Tennessee is likely trying to?
Absolutely. I think that Tennessee's probably one of the early favorites.
Well, I mean, if they're not, then I think you have a serious problem. But I expect that they are, and given the ties that Tennessee has to Hardy, I would agree with Charlie. I think Tennessee's probably one of the early favorites.
Yeah, you have the mutual connections. So you got to think about, you know, what is that relationship between Rodney Garner and Jay Hardy look like as Garner is now on the Tennessee staff. But man, 6'3", 317 more pounds with at least 3 more seasons of eligibility left seems like a tremendous addition to the roster if Tennessee can go out there and land it. I would love to see that happen. But the reason why I brought his name up one more time, because we've certainly talked about him for a second, is another Auburn player is in the transfer portal. In fact, it is the fifth Auburn football player to hit the transfer portal this week. What is going on? What is going on down there in Auburn, Alabama? Who's their new coach? Is it Harsin?
Brian Harsin.
Is Harsin just not able to keep things together, you think? I mean, this is a... I kind of feel like a strange time to have so many players into the transfer portal all at once.
You know, it could just be a situation if they finished up spring ball, and you had some guys that were on the fence with the hire, and,
sure.
and you know, a couple of them decided after they gave spring ball a chance it wasn't for them. Or, you know, maybe guys that just were disappointed that they got passed up on the depth chart with a new coaching staff that didn't favor them the same way the old one did.
You know, that's a great point. If there is going to be any time for kind of a mass, you know, a mass exit into the transfer portal, it's probably likely the week or two after the spring game. But Auburn's lost an outside linebacker, Jaron Handy, defensive tackle, Jay Hardy, quarterback, Chael Garnett. I believe that's right. Apologize if it's not. Safety, Chris Thompson Jr. So certainly, hey, SEC quality players on the defensive side of the ball entering the transfer portal from Auburn. And this one guy that we're talking about here, Kamar Haddon, is from Community College First, where at Independence Community College, he totaled 21 tackles, one TFL, three forced fumbles, one interception, eight pass breakups as a freshman. Committed to Gus Malzahn, and... Let's see, I believe enrolled early, made a strong impression, but this is a guy who's now in the transfer portal. So, hey, the portal is still wide open for Tennessee to use. We've seen them get a couple hits so far in the last couple weeks. Hopefully, there are still more to come because there are names out there. That's kind of my final thought on all the additions for the football team. Because there's been a lot. There's been a lot lately.
Yeah, and like, I mean, I expect there to be more.
If there is anyone in the portal, let's just go get him. Let's fill up our entire roster.
Again, like, even with the wide receiver, it doesn't matter who it is, right?
Like, let's get every single defender in the portal.
Yeah, the defenders, well, revolving door. At least for the offensive side, we'll make you sign your name on a sheet of paper first. But, man, I don't care what position it is. I know we're stacked in wide receiver. If there's another great one out there who wants to come in, let's do it. Because ultimately, every single move we make to get this team better, in my opinion at least, is exactly what we need to be doing, no matter who is already looking in a good position. So, a little bit of Tennessee football talk right there. On the other side of the break, we'll wrap up the first hour of the show. We'll find something fun to talk about right here. And then on the other side, in the second hour, man, we got so many places to go to. We pretty much went all Tennessee football there. So we're going to really expand things out. Don't go anywhere. You won't want to miss it.
Hey folks, Jamie here at Alden Franklin Motors on Kings of Mike with the
off three fights simultaneously. Rooney and Dowd. DiGiuseppe going at it with Hathaway, Blackwell, and Haglund. 1 second in.
First of all, classy move by Blackwell. He had Haglund down and he didn't throw an extra punch. Hathaway and DiGiuseppe are really getting after one another.
My goodness.
Classy move. He was going down and he didn't throw an extra punch.
What a scene between the Rangers and the Caps last night, right when the puck drops. Six fights in the total of the first period over the Tom Wilson controversy. I have never seen anything like this. Literally, right when the puck... I mean, we've seen it before. Puck drop, fight. Maybe on the edge, maybe somewhere else, but not where there are three simultaneous fights.
It's a line brawl.
All going on right at the drop, and then there just happens to be, three more thrown in there in the first period as referees all game long had to deal with two of the hottest teams in the NFL, and I'm talking personality-wise.
Yeah, I mean, when teams know they're going to fight like they knew yesterday – because a refresher, it stems over from the Tom Wilson incident when those two teams met, you know, a couple days back. So those two teams knew that there was blood. They knew that they were going to be fighting. And, you know, that's something that you don't get to see often in hockey, but when you do, it's glorious when you get a line brawl. And that's when, you know, everyone has just already agreed. When that puck drops, the entire line is fighting each other. I was pretty disappointed because the defensemen didn't join in on the line brawl, but, you know, I'm sure they knew there was going to be more fights, and because there's only three lines of defensemen, I guess they didn't want to send an entire line to the box.
Yeah, they said Brendan Smith picked his fight very strategically. He fought Wilson on his first shift later in.
Yeah, so that was the best part, though, is Tom Wilson was a marked man. They knew that he knew, I mean, it had to be terrifying, honestly, to beat Tom Wilson, because he knew that they were going to be coming after him.
Headhunting.
And not just in like a let's fight way, but like in any cheap shot, all game that I can take at you, I will. We just got eliminated from the playoffs. We don't care. We only care about hurting you. So the second he steps onto the ice, the enforcer for the Rangers sprints over to Tom Wilson, and they fight. And of course, Tom Wilson wins the fight. And, of course, they try to check him when he's not looking several times, you know, take some cheap shots. And every single time, he redirected it and delivered the blow instead because he's just that badass.
So, Brent, how many – let's say this. 75 is the number over under.
Over. Penalty minutes, over.
Correct. Take the over. 100 combined penalty minutes in the first period alone. Wow.
Seems like a lot.
Wow.
It's a lot of timeout.
That is insane, man. It's insane. Can't even believe that. That was wild. These guys just total brawl right off the bat. Only in hockey, man.
Bunch of heathens.
You see the refs just kind of, you know, skating around, Thugs. Making sure everyone's okay. Somebody goes to the ground, they pick them all back up.
Hockey's a weird sport.
It is.
It is awesome. Fighting is awesome.
It's weird.
It is weird.
And, you know, just the unwritten rules of hockey, too, with the fighting and with the standing up for your teammates, with the, you know, you just knew that Tom Wilson's going to brawl the second he steps on the ice. I don't know. Just all of that, I think, is so cool. I love Tom Wilson. I love dirty, dirty players.
Never heard of him until today. Did not know who
I
that
hadn't
was.
Heard of him until his fight.
He is a Tom Wilson. Love him.
He's
a great guy.
Repeat offender.
Favorite player.
Repeat offender known as the dirtiest player in hockey.
Did you know who Tom Wilson was before this conversation?
No. I mean, no. You guys don't watch hockey, though, so like.
I still feel like if he's on the Rangers, I would feel like I'd only know more about the Preds.
He's on the Capitals.
Okay. See?
exactly. I mean, I don't know. He's like one of the better players on a team that won a Stanley Cup recently. And like the average hockey fan knows who he is. I'm sure anyone that watches hockey listening right now like knows who I'm talking about. You guys just don't watch hockey. Like, that's cool. But yeah, I mean, he's known as like one of the dirtiest players in the NHL. He has been fined and suspended repeatedly. And those suspensions increase, and he just continues to be dirty.
We need to get him out of the league. Get him. Get him out. No good.
Doug
Hour number
Tom
two.
Tom Wilson.
Coming up next. Pump it up while your feet are stumping.